Well, Julene so graciously made some copies from this morning. And did you keep yours?
Yes, the ones on top. The title and the ones on the bottom have the title.
So I have some extra ones?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to make sure those that weren't here get theirs first, but I know she's
related.
So take it.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Julie.
Oh, wow.
This is this morning. So I need to go get some supplies, but she so graciously put them in baggies to protect them. Okay. And do you need separate ones, Deb? Do you and your husband?
I think we're all right.
Okay. Louise, would you like one?
Thank you.
Maureen, do you want one?
Yeah.
Okay, hand that down to Maureen. Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. It's so good to hear the truth. And I know I shared this morning, but we want this to become so real to us that I want to share it again. Now, John, you have your little snow globe over there. For those of you that weren't there. Shaking it away. I will tell you a cute story. When I sent them to Alaska, they got there frozen. So they had to have them thaw out before they could start shaking them.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, so, oh well. It's okay. They still worked. But I wanted to read this again because I believe it is so important that we live in the supernatural, that it's worth repeating, especially for yourselves to hear again. I get built up every time I hear it again, but also for the people that are not in our state, but other states that plead with me to send them messages. Mm-hmm. So there's more than are sitting here that are representative of this ministry, that treasure it. And some people, this is really their ministry, even though they're not here. This is Merry Christmas. When I asked the Lord what he wanted to give his people this year at Christmas time, I had a vision of boxes and boxes. He sent me on a shopping adventure to find some small gift boxes. He told me he had endless gifts to give to his people and those they minister to, but wanted to show them through a visual way what this meant. When I arrived at the store he sent me to, I began collecting boxes after boxes all throughout the store until he told me to stop. Then my eyes fastened upon what's inside of each box. John, would you hold up and demonstrate again? Now, John, tell everybody what yours says on yours.
I believe.
It says, I believe. Some people, it was just their name. And some I couldn't find their name, but I knew I was to get them one, so the Lord gave me what they needed. And so his was, I believe. I found some that said destiny, some that said Zoe. And the person
really?
That got Zoe, yeah, which is life. Somebody's name was Zoe. And so many different things upon these besides people's names. But those that got their names, they were specifically to receive their names. I then proceeded home, full of excitement as I began to stuff each box with the visual gift that will bring forth the spiritual gifts that keep on giving and carry you day after day throughout eternity. Somebody want to greet the person that's here?
I
do. Okay. He left me with specific instructions to each person who opens their gifts so they are fully satisfied with their gifts. Your gifts must be shaken continually. When we receive the Holy Spirit, only the gifts of His Spirit are shaken with 100% desire. Only when they are, will they ever bring forth what we need from God. Now, who remembers what it means to really have that 100% desire. Give me an illustration of when I asked somebody what they really desired. What did John really desire? Who remembers? Going camping. There's a real desire to go camping. Well, that's the same intensity that you need to have for the gifts of the Spirit, which will bring you those going camping experiences. All right? Then they must, the shaking, after you they're shaken, then you must let them settle. We must allow the gifts to settle and understanding in our hearts by feeding on the great spiritual sandwich of 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. The gifts, the love of God, the use of gifts with His love. Then they must be used. Now that we have desire and understanding, we must follow the Holy Spirit's leading, power, and nature to take the gift to ones who need it and give it to them. My gift to you is a reminder. God's gift to you are packed in 9 unique packages of belief. The word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. Learn all you can from the Holy Spirit about these gifts. Keep the passion for them full of holy fire and use them as often as you need them. He told me to let you know the only reason you will ever lose a gift is because you put it away like a Christmas decoration. So I exhort you to keep this package out every day of the year. Mm-hmm. Take it with you should you need a reminder and shake it often. Now, what would be a reason you need to take it with you? What would be a reason? Maybe you know that you've got a really full week at work. Maybe you know you have to go into a situation where you're going to need a miracle. Do you think it would be really smart to maybe take it with you? To remind you, all right, Lord, you supernaturally inspired someone to remind me that you were going to help me to live in the miraculous in 2010 and the rest of my life. For when I first glanced at these adorable snow globes and shook them, my spirit inside leaped from the presence of the Holy Spirit. He loves to move in our hearts and through our lives. Maybe circumstances will come your way to shake you, but if the gifts of the Holy Spirit are in you, the only shaking will be the presence of God to bring forth the way out of the wrong way and into the wonderful ways of God's will for your life and those around you. You know, so cute. When we were in Tulsa in the hotel, I was talking to Rich Tuttle about the gift, this gift, and suddenly he stuck his hand in his little brief. Now, we were in the lobby, okay, and I burst into hysterics. I was laughing and laughing, and he's digging away and digging away, and I know, I had a sense, and he was looking for his snow globe. Now, what was so funny is there was this man sitting in a, with his, Rich's back was to this man, and this man is sitting there watching me in hysterics, like, what in the world is going on? Because the more he would dig, the more I was laughing. Because I knew that this man would not have a clue what in the world this meant. But what a great opportunity. I know my hairdresser has hung it on her little thing when people look in the mirror. And when I was there and there was a man that needed a miracle healing that was getting ready to have her cut his hair, she had it hanging there. And I said, make sure you tell him about it, because I had to leave. So she just totally opened an opportunity for her to talk about the miracle power of God. And so you can use these little things. God initiated this. Yeah. And they're so adorable. You know that they're going to create attention. And one thing that I learned years ago, if I wanted to create tension and talk to people in public that I did not know, I had to have something that caught their eye. Now, some people wear like the Prophetic Ministries necklace, or sometimes they wear the runner with the trumpet on it. But could you imagine if you were going through your purse or your pocket and you pull out the little snow globe and it's the middle of the year? What could that do? They could say, what in the world do you have that? I'm so glad you asked, Debbie. Let me tell you what this is all about. Have you ever needed a miracle? Do you think you'll ever need a miracle? Well, let me tell you, God wants us to live in the miraculous so much. Amen. He told my minister to get me this. Mm-hmm. And what an opportunity that you can have to have fun. I mean, it helps people when you keep their heart open to swallow the truth. Mm-hmm. And what a cute way to swallow the truth, huh? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I hope you have your notepads. Because this morning we talked about the gift, which is not the gift is not used in the King James. It just says prophecy. Mm-hmm. And so this morning's message is on CD. If you not only want it for yourself, but maybe you know somebody, a believer that's just not living in the supernatural. And I would say most of the body of Christ do not live in the supernatural. They just, most of them don't. And I believe that we should. We're going to be going over the prophecy that Miriam had. I actually have the prophecies that were spoken, and we're going to actually put to action some discernment in what gifts were in operation through this person. I had someone this morning that was so excited, that wasn't at the conference, but she comes to the ministry in the mornings, and she asked me at the end of the meeting, could you pray for me? I mean, we were talking about the prophetic words that came over us in Tulsa, and just the desire in her heart pulled the most incredible prophetic word out of my heart and mouth from the Lord. And I'll tell you what, when many times when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, because they are supernatural, just say that with me, supernatural. Super means what? Above the natural. So it's going to be beyond your understanding. Super, okay? In other words, it usually supernatural, when you talk about supernatural, it usually means it has to do with God. A divine God, a divine deity. So when the gifts are in operation, for example, we talked about prophecy this morning. When you desire to prophesy, you cannot allow your natural mind to interfere with these gifts. Because God may have you give the gift to somebody you would have never thought needed it, ever. And that will shut down a blessing for somebody else. Mm-hmm. Just, I always tell people, just look at yourself as the, if you're a man, a male man or a male lady. All you're responsible from the Lord is to deliver the male properly. Okay? You just deliver it. Now, does the mailman, as I've said before, sit and wait for you to open your mail to see how your response was? Okay? But some people, they deliver the word of God and they sit around almost like waiting for the person to get upset with them or to debate with them. God didn't ask you to do that. Just deliver it. If it's to send someone a note, if it's to call them, if it's to go to them, look at him. But once you deliver it, the anointing of God will lift from you, and you're on your own if you try to do anything else. You are on your own. God won't back you up. So it's better to just say, well, That's what I was supposed to say. And you can get on another subject with them. Talk about some other things, but don't add to or take away from the word that God gives to you to give to them. Tonight we're going to be talking about living in the miraculous. That's the name of the series that I'm going to be doing. And this gift we're going to talk about, which is really not called a gift, but one of the gifts of the Spirit, is the word of wisdom. And I was just quickened by the Holy Spirit to go in the order that He is leading me. Which is the word of wisdom to me. But let's again turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm never ashamed to read the scripture again until I get it. But it's so important that believers live in this place, that this if it wasn't when you were a brand new believer, this should have been made a priority when you were saved and filled with the Spirit. And I'm very grateful that I happened to be brought up in a ministry that I got this all in my very, very beginning years. And I didn't have to wait forever to have these foundations put in me. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give unto you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So just remember that when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, all the nine gifts, it's still the same Holy Spirit. But it's another aspect of His ability. That's like looking at yourself, you men. You go to work and you're a businessman. You come home and you're a husband. You spend time with your kids and you're a father. All right? These are different ways that God uses you, but it's still the same person, right? But it's just calling upon a portion of who you are to be used at that moment. Well, it's the same with the Holy Spirit. These are all the Holy Spirit, but this is an aspect where He is working to bring supernatural things to people's lives. And there are differences of administration, but it's the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally. What does that say? Severally. How much is several? Is it more than one? Is it more than two? Is it more than three? It can be, because usually few might be around three, but several could be a lot. Mm-hmm. Okay? So you want to know all of the gifts, because you never know which several ones He's going to give to you. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body, one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now, I exhort you that are here, that weren't here this morning, listen to the message. We read the whole chapter in Corinthians. But to put it in a nutshell, basically what I was sharing is, if you think one part of your body is not important, then just be without it and see how much you miss out. And it's the same with all of us. We need the body to keep building the body up. Every one of you here are a different member of the body of Christ. And you all have your place in the body of Christ. And even though you might not be used in a public place more than someone else, you may be used in a private place. Do you think what Julene did for me in making these CDs was important? Mm-hmm. How many of you have already profited from it?
That's right.
All right? That's one member that did something and profited a lot of people by their part in the body of Christ. So every one of you, some things are not seen. Some people, because they're blessed financially, put more into offerings than others. And so they are benefiting the whole body. And maybe the body never sees it because they're the spleen, so to speak, or they're the heart that's kind of covered and nobody can see what they're doing. It doesn't matter if it's seen by man or not. God sees, and it's important. And so, therefore, since we have these hidden parts of the body, don't we want to make sure that they keep functioning well? Mm-hmm. So we may need a gift from the Holy Spirit to give to them and might not understand why. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, you're in for the most exciting little snow globe experience this year, if you will allow. Now, I think it was really profound what was even spoken over Rich Tuttle, which is so amazing to me, because Miriam and I do not sit and talk about you guys. We don't really have a whole lot of time, but we both have the Holy Spirit. And so when I think about what was prophesied over him and all the ministry that went forth about getting people out of the natural man into the spiritual man, and then what his prophecy was, which I'll let him share later when we go through the prophecies, if you'd like to share, I was so excited. And then Louise and I were talking this morning that the prophecy that was spoken over her, which I said nothing to Miriam, was like identical to what I got from the Lord for her in December. And you might say, well, why would God repeat himself? Why would he repeat himself?
Make a greater impact.
Yeah. You'd have to ask the person that received, what was the impact that they gained from that? But some people need things more than once told them before they go, wow, that really was God. That could only be God for you to tell someone on the East Coast and the West Coast on my behalf what you have for me. Don't you think that would impact you? Uh-huh. Do you think it impacted Richard Hellman to have somebody from Hawaii go all the way to tell through the gifts of the Spirit, tell somebody from Hawaii to go to D.C. that they were going to lead someone to Christ? That was the word of wisdom. Okay. Wisdom. It says the word of wisdom. It didn't say the word of prophecy, even though prophecy is an utterance gift. It said the word of wisdom. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I just love wisdom. Do y'all love wisdom?
Yes.
I've loved wisdom since I was a little girl. And that's one reason I became a people watcher as a little girl. My first people watching were my two sisters. Mm-hmm. And I watched what they did and what they didn't do and what happened to them. And therefore, I summarized what I was going to not do and do because of what I wanted. I didn't know physics. I didn't know the laws of you reap what you sow. But I saw that it wasn't very smart to do certain things. I'm not saying they were terrible people. I'm just saying that was where I watched some things, you know, some of the silly little things that kids do that mommy and daddy don't know, that brothers and sisters find out. And little did I know that God was sending me on a quest for wisdom. I've just always wanted to have wisdom. First of all, I don't like to waste my time. Second, I don't want consequences from wrong decisions to haunt me all my life when I could have done something another way, the right way. Now, this is before I knew the Lord. I just loved wisdom. So does God. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 4. Here's Paul. He really liked it too. He said, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Now, some people in the natural that are very, very wise, and there are people that aren't even saved that are wise, could be in a meeting of someone like the Apostle Paul or somebody that operates with the word of wisdom and think they are incredibly wise. Mm-hmm. But they don't understand there is a wisdom that is even superior than what they have. Mm-hmm. One man of God that I read a lot from when I was a young believer was Norval Hayes. The man operated at a very high level with the word of wisdom for a couple reasons that I'm aware of. One, he was a minister, so he definitely searched the scriptures and had a relationship with the Lord. But the other was he was a very successful businessman. Very, very successful. I was reading one of his little books a couple days ago about how God instructed him to buy a pastor a bus, and just how God led him to the bank and told this pastor to go to the bank. And I mean, all these da-da-da. Told him when to sell things, sell his cab. He had a cab company. Sell his cab company. Oh my gosh. Told him what to pray over a whole orchard when he had this very successful orchard. Everybody's orchard died with frost, and his was the only one that lived. I mean, the man lived in the supernatural as a businessman as well. So he had a desire not just to bring the things of God to people, but to fund the things of God. So here's Paul saying, I didn't have to resort to man's wisdom to draw people into the kingdom. I did it in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. What does that mean? In other words, in the end, he's done. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Do you realize that if Satan was as smart as a lot of people think he is, that he would have never crucified Jesus? If he would have known, right, he would never have crucified Jesus. Right. See, a lot of people think the devil's winning. He's not. Here it shows us he would have never crucified Jesus. He wouldn't be doing what he's doing if he had the wisdom of God. But the thing is he lost it. He did at one time have the wisdom of God. verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. See, God has so much prepared for us, but they have to be revealed to us. Mm-hmm. The reason we lack faith at times is because we have not allowed the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be revealed to us. Let's turn over to the book of James. James is a great letter. A lot of people say it's a book of wisdom. He defines wisdom in his letter to the believers. Think about your spirit. Your spirit's been born again by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit lives in you. Do you realize that you have all the wisdom of God that you need in you? But if you don't access it, see, legally, you have what you need. You have everything. But experientially, it comes by desiring to let God reveal these things to you. Desiring to learn some things that a lot of people don't even learn about the world. Okay, James chapter 4, starting with verse 13. James chapter 3, starting with verse 14. It says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, how in the world can bitter envying and strife be called wisdom? Ever thought about that? This wisdom descendeth not. James chapter 3. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. All right, I'm going to just pause here. How many of you have ever heard a politician sound very suave on this is the way we're going to do this? It's sensual. Remember why I say it's a seducing spirit? It's of another spirit. It's a wisdom of this world. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, which means it's easy to do. It's full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The wisdom that is from above. When Satan, before he was nicknamed, it's really a descriptive name of him, it's not really a name, it means adversary. Before he fell, he had the wisdom of God. But when he fell, his wisdom became corrupt. Doesn't mean he's not wise. It means it was corrupt. He still knows how to get some things done. Or we wouldn't see some of the stuff we see in this world. But he uses a corrupt way to do it. And the world system that's under his rule operates the same way. The word that you would use for the wisdom of the devil or Satan would be cunning. Mm-hmm. That's the corrupt version of the wisdom of God. And cunning means artful. So he's skilled at what he does. You ever been around somebody that's a really pushy salesperson? Or you've just heard somebody and think, how in the world did they do that? How did they convince that person? How did they take over the masses of people? They were artful. Subtle. See, his wisdom, which is cunning, is subtle. He doesn't always show you what he's doing. Have you ever had somebody, you go to buy something, I use salespeople because I think bottom line, everything you do to convince somebody is what the world would call selling. You're influencing them. But I think a lot of people see it in a selling type setting where you see how, if you look at it from the outside, you see how suave they are, how subtle they are. Oh, let me take you over here and show you. You know, it's just, they get in, they know how to do it. They know how to present themselves to you. All right. Also, another meaning for cunning is deceptive. So all they're doing with you is to deceive you. This is the wisdom of the world that came from the fallen one. And they're ingenuine. They're not pure. Their motive is not pure. So we've been told to ask for the wisdom that's from above. If we lack wisdom, James said, ask for it. That means anything you need. The word wisdom that's in Corinthians and the word wisdom that's in James is the Greek word Sophia. You've ever seen my picture in the... Let me get it real quick. In the dining room here, I'm in Turkey, and you can pass it around, but this is the wisdom, this is Sophia, the goddess of wisdom that the Greeks talk about. I did a little research on her. Oh my goodness, I think she's probably there with the Nephilim. But they use this Greek word to describe wisdom as far as everyday wisdom that you need. So James is saying, if you need to know what to do about anything, ask God. Ask him what you need. And it says he'll give it to you liberally. Right. And James was using this to believers that had been persecuted and were being scattered. And when he said, if you lack wisdom, ask me, what was the wisdom these believers needed? They needed to know how to deal with the persecution. Now, if you are being heavily persecuted, and we don't really know what that looks like here in America, but if you are being heavily persecuted where your life was on the line, would you say you needed some wisdom? You would probably need to know where you needed to go. And once you got there, how were you going to live? We talked to our Hebrew teacher, and she told us when her parents left Morocco, correct? All they had was, her mom had a diamond? Wasn't that just a diamond, a loose diamond? They didn't have anything when they left. It wasn't like here we could fill up our camper and go someplace. So these believers needed the wisdom of God to know what to do. And so James said, if you lack it, ask the Lord. Now, in 1 Corinthians, it says we're to desire this gift of the word of wisdom. Mm-hmm. And there's a difference between asking for the basic wisdom that James was talking about and the supernatural gift of the Spirit called the Word of Wisdom. Notice that Paul in this said Word of Wisdom. The word in Corinthians is the Greek word logos. Now, how many of you know what the logos is? Okay. The logos is called every scripture in here, the logos of wisdom. So Paul was saying, you're going to need a specific word for a person, maybe even yourself. The word of wisdom, supernaturally. There are people that are going to need this word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is always pertaining to the future. John, you said it really well. Wisdom was?
The application of knowledge.
So many times when the word of wisdom, the gift of the Spirit, one of the nine gifts, will work together with the word of knowledge. You'll see them in there working together when God will speak this gift, reveal this gift either to you or reveal it to you to give to someone else. If you search through Proverbs, you will find that Solomon was definitely the wisest man that ever lived. But that wisdom, again, many times was talking about very practical wisdom that his father passed on to him. And at times it could have been one of the gifts of the Spirit, because all of the gifts of the Spirit, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the discerning of spirits, the gifts of healing, the working of miracles, faith, and prophecy were all gifts that operated under the old covenant as well. The only gifts that did not operate before Pentecost were tongues and interpretation of tongues. Those came at the new dispensation when the Holy Spirit was sent to the earth to fill a believer's life. So, the wisdom of God. Now, there's reasons why people don't have wisdom, just naturally speaking. They can be naive. I've learned a lot about that word naive in the last several years. One aspect of being naive is to force yourself to believe what's not true. I believe the best of that person, but you really know that they're not right. You know that their lifestyle has not been appropriate before God, but you're forcing yourself to believe they're where they're not yet. That doesn't mean you don't pray for them. But what happens is you set yourself up to be deceived by them by forcing yourself to believe. And you have to keep your heart really right, because God definitely can work in all human beings. You give everybody every opportunity. But wisdom might tell you don't get involved with that person. Even the Bible says you let tares come into, you know, ministries. You just let them come. Let anybody come to your meetings. Don't ever turn anybody away. But you will have tares in the mix of the wheat. And you don't want to get rid of the tares, because the tares will take the wheat with them many times. But it's kind of like Jesus. Jesus had a tare in the midst, Judas. but he kept him right next to him and knew everything that the guy was doing. He never, ever got rid of him. The guy uninvited himself and killed himself in the end. It wasn't that Jesus wanted it to happen. Jesus didn't, it wasn't preordained that Judas betray Jesus. He got offended with Jesus, and therefore he chose to betray him. So we don't want to be naive as believers. But another definition, which really kind of like, whoa, when I was looking at the word naive, was lacking worldly experience. Now, you know, Rich is such a great person to use as an example many times because he's right there in the smack dab in the middle of the world. He has gained worldly experience, would you say, with what you do? How do you gain worldly experience? By observing and being in the midst of how the world operates. So he's been in it, but not of it. Yet there are some people that get into his profession that get into it. So unless you're called into an arena like that, it's not wise to get into an arena like that. There's something you have to have in you that can keep you from it. You have to have wisdom to know how to keep yourself from being taken over by it. So some people are naive because they really don't understand the way the world operates. Some people, I know, I was talking to somebody recently who said, I was so sheltered when I was a little girl. I said, really? That's unusual for your culture to be so sheltered. You usually see a lot of the way rough things happen. They said it was so sheltered that when I grew up, I mean, it was scary to me to go certain places. And, you know, I might look like someone that should have had experience there, but I had no experience. So it really scared me. Therefore, someone like that is naive. So they need to be educated. They need to be aware. Do you realize how many people are lacking worldly experience in the way our government works? Mm-hmm. And that's why our country is where it is, mm-hmm. because a lot of people are naive and think, oh, it's set up to keep me free. Oh, yeah. If you can see the way that the wisdom of the world has crept in, you're going to see it's ebbing away what you thought you had. Then there's ignorance. Now, ignorance can be willful lack of understanding. You just really don't want to take the time to be wise. You just don't want to gain it. There's a lot of people, John and I were talking about a situation, and I said, well, do you know what it is that's keeping this person? He said, yeah, pride. I said, that's right. In other words, you think you know it all. But it's not that you really think you know it all. You've accepted that spirit of pride that keeps you from pursuing what you really need to know. Ignorance. And then there's people that are ignorant just because they lack the knowledge. They just, it's not that they didn't necessarily want it. They just were never been around people to give it to them. Then there's people that have all the people in the world around them to give them wisdom, and they won't listen to it because they're being deceived by a spirit of pride. The word of wisdom will tell you, or can be encompassed with telling you what to do about something, where to do it, when to do it, how to do it, with whom to do it. The wisdom of God knows every aspect of it. We say it's a keen understanding of a complex network. So it's very aware of all aspects. You need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. You need to dress this way, you need to go at this time, you need to go with this person, you need to do it this day, okay? It's every, that's wisdom. Now, how many of you would love to live in the wisdom of God to such a level that you were able to accomplish everything that you need to accomplish? I mean, I want that wisdom all the time, especially if you're embarking on something new. Part of embarking on something new is gaining wisdom. That's why I've always told people I collect experts. Because an expert is somebody that has really searched a certain area out. And some people can be really wise in certain areas and really ignorant in other areas. And it's because they haven't pursued those other areas. And that's why I always encourage people to surround yourself by people that know a lot of things you don't know. Because if you just surround yourself by people that know everything that you know, you will not be a wise person. Because then they're limited in the same thing you're limited in. And I learned in business to put myself around people that intimidated me. And I don't mean in a bad way. They intimidated me in the respect that they knew things I didn't know. And a lot of people don't, as I said in Tulsa, they don't want to feel stupid. And so a lot of times they won't put themselves around people that know things they don't know because they don't want to be called on. they don't want not to have the answer. When a really wise person puts themselves around wise people. Even, I was told this very young in my Christian walk. Did you know that the devil actually plants people from other cults in Christian colleges to learn our ways? Just because somebody says, I went to this Bible college. A foolish person thinks, oh, they're okay. Am I right? Where do perpetrators go, Rich? We were kind of talking about this. They'll plant themselves in any place where people can think they're okay. That's why the wisdom of God is far superior than the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of God can highlight a fake in a split second for you through one of the wonderful gifts that we've talked about in our prayer meetings, and that's the discerning of spirits, where that person looks it, talks everything that you're in the setting. Everything seems so right, and your spirit on the inside supernaturally is going, fake, phony. And if you give over to your natural mind, you'll miss it. When on the inside, the Holy Spirit has got all the alarms going off, and you're wondering, can they hear it? Because it's so apparent. Would you say that that's given you an edge as a believer in what you do? Of course. Because he's been trained to use the wisdom of the world, but add the wisdom of God on top of that and let's see how accurate you get. So all of these things, what to do, when to do, why to do it, where to do it, how to do it, is what I call the strategy of God. We've got to have the strategy of God. Because we are in a war, and the military never goes out without a strategy. But God's strategy is always to win. So when the word of wisdom is revealed to you, it's revealing the mind of God and the will of God about a person or a situation. What God's thinking about something, and what he wants to impart to the person to help them in their future. So it is a part. The word of wisdom is a part. Where Patty right now is going to school to learn a certain trade. I don't know if you'd call it a trade, but a certain wisdom. And it takes a while to acquire all that information. But you know what's going to make her really good at what she does? Is add the word of wisdom onto it. That's what will make her successful all the time, if she has the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. And what did God prophesy over you in December? Do you remember? That you would walk in a high level of the word of wisdom. That just came out. That, if I would have thought, I would have thought, why would I be saying that over Patty? I mean, you know, my natural man, I just didn't let her interfere. I was blown away myself as it was coming out of my mouth. But just in our little bit of conversation today, I understand why you will be walking in the word of wisdom. You're going to need the word of wisdom with the types of things that you're going to be doing. But praise be to God, He's already assured you before you even got into it that you will be. That's exciting. All right, I want to show you a reference in the scriptures of the word of wisdom. Let's turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, the word of wisdom can come to you in a vision or a dream or audibly. Either audibly by the Spirit of God or audibly through a person by the Spirit of God. When Miriam had the vision or the appearance of Jesus in her living room, I'm sending your family to Israel, that was the word of wisdom. When Jesus appeared to me in this living room in the 80s, and said, mobilize my troops, that was the word of wisdom. And when I discussed it with him and said, how can this be? I'm not in a position to do it in this church. Because you have the ability to influence the leaders that are. Mobilize my troops. And that was a direct command, but it was the word of wisdom. It was something about my future. All right, so this is in a vision. And he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise. Okay, here's the word of wisdom. And go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. Okay, so this is the word of wisdom. And as we continue to read, the word of knowledge. Word of knowledge is something present or past. So these gifts are working together right now. And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias. So he's telling him of something in the past. First, he's telling him of something in a future. I want you to get up and I want you to go here. Now he's telling him something that's happened in the past. So these are both the gifts of the Spirit in operation. He saw a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. So Paul, which was Saul back then, is receiving a word of wisdom. And Ananias is receiving a word of wisdom at the same time. Now, why would that be good to happen? So they will cooperate with what the Lord is trying to do. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many. He's starting to get into his natural man. I've heard by many that this man, how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. So that means sometimes maybe you're going to get a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, and you might be going, but wait a minute. Do you realize what you're asking me to do? If it's the word of wisdom, it's the wisdom of God. Fear not. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way. There's the word of wisdom coming right back. For he is a chosen vessel unto me. Oh, discerning of spirits as well in this. He's showing Ananias the heart of someone that was corrupt, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, that's Paul or Saul, as it had been, scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Praise God that Paul got to have some experience with some believers, because when he came to the Lord pretty much took him away and really did a work in him, a real delivering work in him, and then brought him back to the body of Christ. So here you see that when these gifts operate in our lives, God doesn't want you to fight him, but at least if you have a question, talk to him about it like Ananias. I mean, he was honest, right? He honestly went to him and said, wait a minute. That's like me saying, but Lord, I don't have a position in this church. He didn't even listen, as far as that didn't disturb him at all, because his wisdom chose me. And so if God gives you a word of wisdom for somebody, he has chosen you as the vessel that he can trust to deliver the message. Whether it's something that he is telling you specifically to do, or something for yourself, okay? Something for your own life, like get into what you're doing. Or if he's having you go to tell somebody else. I had a phone call from Texas recently, and the woman said, Lisa, do you remember when you came here and you were preaching at my church in the prayer meeting? I said, yeah. Do you remember what you said over the worship leader, the pastor's daughter? I said, oh yeah. She's flowing in it completely, what you prophesied over her. I said, really? This is amazing. She said, I just thought you'd want to know. Praise God. You know, sometimes when the word of wisdom goes forth, it doesn't happen unless there is a cooperation on the other side. So there's a lot of the wisdom of God that has gone forth in this earth that people have not obeyed. What if Moses, who said, who am I? Okay? He was just one of the, who am I? And what did God say? I am that I am. The wisdom of God, Moses, has chosen you. I know you better than yourself, Moses. You need to get to know yourself, but I know you well enough. I know you can do it. So there may be things that God will require of each one of us this year that you might think, how in the world am I going to do that? Don't go there. Just desire the word of wisdom. Desire the gifts of the Spirit. Desire the wisdom of God, like James said. Ask for it. If you need wisdom, ask for it. If you need supernatural wisdom, ask for it. I need it, Lord. I need to know what is it that I need to do about this. Because His wisdom will never, ever fail you. Ever. It'll keep you from failing yourself by falling short when you're thinking, why am I not getting this done? I keep using the wisdom of this world and it's not happening. It should work. Well, God says, hey, I have a wisdom that's even more superior. Do you know the wisdom of this world will not tell you to give tithes and offerings? It'll say, that's foolish. You put your money in a bank and you let it gain interest. Well, we're seeing the wisdom of this world crumble little by little, aren't we?
That's right.
We are. So it's time to really allow the wisdom of God, who will use the wisdom of this world. He can still tell you where, through wise people, where to put your finances. But you don't want to put all your trust in the wisdom of this world. Praise the Lord. The dream that I had years ago, where I was driving on a bridge and I met Miriam, was the word of wisdom. Mm-hmm. It was also the discerning, now that I think about it, the discerning of spirits, because He actually showed me the spirit of Miriam, that I could trust her and that she was the one for me to help me. And I praise God that He did give me that dream that way, because my natural mind might have not been able to wrap around the thought of somebody coming so many thousands of miles away that would come here for no money,
yeah,
come to my city,
yeah,
and mentor me. So sometimes what you need from God has to be so supernatural. And I'm telling you, for every single one of you to fulfill the destiny that God has for you, you've got to have some supernatural interventions.
Amen.
Because what you're going to do for Him is supernatural. He's not going to have you just sit and doing something natural. He is so much higher than just something natural. But He will have you use natural things, because He'll use all the resources we have should He have need of them. Joseph's dream. How many of you know Joseph's dream?
Mm-hmm.
That was the word of wisdom. The problem with Joseph was he told his brothers, and he,
yes,
shouldn't have done. That wasn't wise.
Right.
They got jealous. So we don't know if he would have been thrown in the prison. We don't know that he still couldn't have been Pharaoh's assistant, you know, with all the resources and helping Pharaoh during that time. But because he did tell his brothers, they were jealous.
Mm-hmm.
They're already jealous. And then for him to say that they're going to bow before him, I don't know. I don't know how many siblings would like to hear that anyway.
Yeah.
If you went up to all your siblings, you know what, you're going to be bowing before me someday. I think human nature outside of God might be really tempted to get a little upset. Praise the Lord. So, the word of wisdom. How many of you want that operating in your life? All right. Well, I was impressed to go through the prophecy that was given to see how well you got an understanding of what the word of wisdom is. And then we're going to listen to some prophecies, some prayers. Actually, it was prayer at the end of our conference, where specific prophetic words were spoken over people, and we're going to see if we can listen and discover, we'll do this as corporately, what gifts were in operation. Praise God.